Welcome to the 73 Dream Studios Variety Show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mystery Motel. Last visit, we met Ryunosuke and the gang and helped them defend clients such as themselves, guilty mobsters, a famous writer, and even a pickpocket. This time around, we are defending a headstrong young lady, a famous writer again, a passionate scientist, and the very demon of the Bailey himself. If you want to hear more about all the crazy adventures we have covered before, including the death of Ryunosuke's best friend, Kazuma-sama, check out our archives on www.73dreamstudiosvarietyshow.com or any of your favorite podcast hosting sites like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, and many more. Now I'm going to go over some quick and fun facts about this game, then we are diving into the plot of this adventure that would test the very resolve of our young, learned lawyer. Obviously, this game, as with the prior, is developed and published by Capcom, company that you've heard us talk about before when we covered the Resident Evil franchise on Horror Hotel. This game was initially released August 3rd of 2017 for the Nintendo 3DS exclusively in Japan, but was ported over to the PS4 along with the first game on July 27th, 2021 globally. The game has won a Famitsu Award of Excellency in 2017, and starting recently, December 9th, the Osaka Prefectural Police began using the characters of the Great Ace Attorney Chronicles in propaganda and marketing campaigns in efforts to reduce juvenile marijuana use. You heard that right. That's what Japan's worried about right now. But hey, I guess Ryunosuke is putting his law degree to good use. Oh, that's right. He's not even a lawyer, technically. Oh, well, moving on, let's get into the big plot. We're going to cover chapters 1 through 3 real quick, but... It's quite a lot to run down. It had been 4 months since Susato left Ryunosuke to tend to her ill father back in Japan. We would learn, however, that that was a lie. And it seems lying runs in the family, as in place of a tutorial trial, we are playing as Susato, who must masquerade as a man in order to defend her friend in court. And what has her friend been accused of exactly? Murdering foreign student Giselle Brett. That's right, the same woman who had murdered Dr. John H. Wilson in the prior game. It seems while awaiting her extradition to China, Miss Brett was enjoying a day on the beach when this young lady allegedly murdered her. The fact that this young lady was a former student of John H. Wilson did not help matters. This case sees you uncover an assassination plot involving a special toxin that was being developed inside of a classroom. As it turns out, there was more than just Miss Giselle Brett and the young student who could have attained it. There's also the other beachgoers, who originally were party to an interview featuring Susato's father, Yujin, young writer Soseki Natsume, the officer guarding Miss Brett, Satoru Osanaga, and the cameraman, Raiten Menememo. After determining that the only way to successfully poison Miss Brett would be to slip some toxin into her drink, and the only way to abscond with the toxin would be to keep it in a tiny container, Susato is able to determine that Mr. Menememo is the culprit, having hidden the toxic poison inside of his inkwell pen. After successfully defending her friend, Susato celebrates, but is interrupted by Mr. Menememo, confronting the judge and her father, claiming that he knows that they have something to do with Kazuma, whose body was never returned to Japan. And all of that is just the tutorial story arc, The Blossoming Attorney. Real quick, just want to make sure that I note this. The reason why Susato had to pretend to be a man is because in Japan, at this time period, women were not allowed in the courtroom. As you might remember, as Susato spends the majority of the first game as a judicial assistant, however, in the tutorial case, she is not allowed in the courtroom at all. Now, back in Europe, Ryunosuke is spending his time studying, as he has been indefinitely barred from serving as a lawyer in the land of Great Britain. This is, of course, because of the revelations that were revealed at the end of the first game. Ryunosuke and Iris receive an international telegram from Susato, asking them to revisit events from 6 months ago, a case that we hadn't played in the prior game. That's right, we're doing a flashback trial to before Ryunosuke and Susato were separated and disbarred from practicing law. This is The Memoirs of a Clouded Kokoro. Here we discover that Soseki Natsume had been arrested for another alleged murder, this time the death of his neighbor within that supposedly haunting lodging. Ryunosuke would tackle every aspect of this case that we'd encountered in the prior game. No improvements or missing features. You'll still have time to investigate by speaking with characters and searching the location with point-and-click mechanics. And for trial, you'll still be cross-examining witnesses, presenting evidence after thoroughly examining it, and should the jury unanimously decide your client is guilty, which they inevitably will, once or twice, you'll be allowed a summation examination at which you can change their minds by pitting their statements against each other. Now, upon investigating the crime scene, a startling discovery is made. That the victim isn't actually dead. Having awoken with a sudden start and a soliloquy of Shakespearean speech, our victim fainted and was immediately rushed to hospital. Don't worry, this won't be the last you see of him. In fact, you'll also see the last person Soseki had been alleged to have murdered, Olive Green. After multiple testimonies and "take that" moments, Ryunosuke is able to debase Baroque Van Zeek's argument and determine that Olive Green had attempted to murder Soseki's roommate, and that was why she was leaving the lodging when she was stabbed in the back during a terrible accident. All of this because she had discovered that this man had murdered the love of her life. Turns out our sham of an actor has been poisoning the tenants to have taken the room because he believed there to be treasure stashed inside of this room. And before he could rent it out, Soseki immediately took the room. Thus, the actor attempted to poison Soseki the same way, which explains why Soseki had been seemingly strangled by spirits every night. As the whole case comes full circle, Ryunosuke discovers the treasure that had been spoken of. A dog collar with gemstones embedded in a bee emblazoned on the medallion adorning it. The great detective Herlock Sholmes forbids Iris from transcribing the events of this trial, similarly to how he forbid her from publishing the tale titled The Hound of the Baskervilles. With this knowledge, we return to the present day, where Susato's telegram implies that it was the discovery of a collar that led to her father lying and recalling her back to Japan, seemingly both out of concern for her safety and the fear of what she may discover the longer she and Ryunosuke stay entrenched in the dangerous world of British law and politics. And with that, we are going to the third story arc, one that proves to be immediately interesting. Titled The Return of the Great Departed Soul, this six-part adventure is by far the longest in the game, but also the most emotional. Our hero, with Susato returning to his side and being reinstated by Miles Strongheart, finds himself in deep water. While our client Albert Harebrain was displaying his latest teleportation experiment during the Great Exhibition, it seemingly worked, but tragically murdered his one and only investor, Odie Asman. Even stranger is that apparently Baroque Van Zeek's is an old college friend of the defendant. Speaking of which, Baroque has a new masked attendant by his side who leaves a very familiar aura about him, even though he is under strict orders to speak to no one outside of Baroque and to not remove his mask. While in court, our heroes discover a connection between the engineer of the machine and a serial killer known in British history as the Professor. It would appear that the coroner, Courtney Seif, had falsely declared the Professor dead, as was discovered by the engineer years ago. And after being discredited and treated as a joke for the rest of his life, Drebber blackmailed Miss Seif to help him commit murder and ruins the lives of those that had discredited him, with Harebrain being collateral damage. With his client successfully defended, the true emotional crux of the story arc is reached, as we finally get to see what the face of the Professor looked like. And upon seeing the wax replica of the face never before seen, is revealed to be a Japanese man. One recognized by Baroque Van Zeek's and his apprentice. The young masked man would unmask to reveal himself as Kazuma, somehow still alive after the events of the prior game. With the shock of seeing his father's face sparking back his memory, Kazuma takes his ancestral sword back from Ryunosuke and destroys the wax replica of his father, promising that he would do what he had to set out to do from the start, and take vengeance on those that ruined his father's legacy. Alright guys, this is all a lot to take in, and I'm just briefly glossing over details. I haven't even talked about how Inspector Gregson has a new assistant as well in Gina Lestrade, who now goes by Inspector Lestrade. That's why her name was so familiar. Inspector Lestrade. God damn it, Capcom, you've done it again. Alright guys, we're going to hear from our sponsor real quick, and then we're going to cover the final two story arcs of the game. See you soon. After all the startling revelations that came forward in the prior episode, we come to chapters 4 and 5, two story arcs that are interconnected. Twisted Karma and his last bow being the first half, and the second half is titled The Resolve of Ryunosuke Naruto. The many interconnecting storylines of the prior cases in both this game and the game prior are building to this. The trial of Baroque von Zeeks. And with Kazuma seeking vengeance for his father's legacy, he's acting as the prosecution in this case. You have no other lawyer willing to defend the Reaper of the Bailey. It is left to our learned friend, Ryunosuke, to take the job. Now, if I am to be honest, the journey of how we get to the conclusion is long and confusing, unless you're playing it, so I'm going to cut to the chase. Now, the Reaper of the Bailey is a myth created around Baroque von Zeeks because everyone who stands in the dock opposite him has ended up dead, regardless of their trial outcome. Baroque von Zeeks has never claimed to be the Reaper, possibly believing that the spirit of his brother is the Reaper, whom had been murdered by Kazuma's father. More on that later. As it would turn out, the Reaper is not one person, but actually an organization led by Mael Strongheart, the Lord Chief Justice. Within this organization, a plan was formed to assassinate or dispose of anyone who could indicate Mael Strongheart. Thus, a foreign exchange program of assassins, where Jazeel Brett would murder John H. Wilson, a man who had been acting as the coroner during the professor's murder spree. Fun fact, that only Capcom could get away with. Jazeel Brett's real name is Asa Shin. God damn it! They always do this! I love it, but I hate it. Why do you do this to me, Capcom? Really? Assassin? Sorry about that. I had a moment there. Anyways, the plan was for Kazuma to be the second assassin, with the intention of murdering Tobias Gregson. Even after regaining his memory, Kazuma still refused to murder Gregson for his part in arresting his father, so another member of the organization had to do the job. Judge Jigoku of Japan, who had also been a foreign student in Great Britain when the professor went on their murder spree. And speaking of the professor, we'd find out that it truly wasn't Kazuma's father who committed the heinous crimes of hunting people down with a dog and killing them. It was Clint von Zeeks, Baroque's brother. But the British Empire couldn't allow the story to get out that a member of a noble house had been murdering other noblemen. So instead, they concocted the tale of the unknown professor and used Kazuma's father as the body double, with the intention of allowing Genshin Asogi to go free. A gravedigger discovered Genshin rising from the grave. Knowing there was no going back, Mael ordered Jigoku to shoot Genshin. But before that murder happened, Genshin had spoken to Yuji Mikotoba, a man who's revealed to have been John H. Wilson's foreign assistant, and Herlock Sholmes' partner in adventure. Susatoza's father had made a promise to look out for Kazuma and to make sure he received the family sword, which had secretly housed Clint's signed confession. So of all of the information out there, Jigoku guilty of murdering Kazuma's father and Tobias Gregson, the remaining loose end was Mael Strongheart, who, while rallying support of the British people by declaring he only did wrong for the best interests of the Empire, states that the only thing he's guilty of is giving orders and making requests. He never physically murdered anyone, because apparently conspiracy isn't a charge yet in this time period. But our great detective, Herlock Sholmes, has apparently invented holograms and Zoom calls, and has been transmitting audio and video of the whole trial to the Queen of England, who will be launching a full investigation into Mael Strongheart in a public trial. Now in all of this drama, we have a couple of character arcs that have been building for their climaxes. First, the true parentage of Iris Wilson. As it turns out, Yuji Mikotoba can verify that John H. Wilson was not Iris's father. It can actually explain who her father is. As it turns out, when Yuji spoke with Genshin, it was revealed that after killing Clint in a duel and agreeing to take the fall for the professor's murders, Genshin had promised to take care of Clint's daughter. Fearing what would become reality, Genshin confided in Yuji the location of Clint's wife, begging him to check on the safety of the family. Yuji would discover that the woman had died during childbirth, and he took the little girl in, naming her after his wife back home. Susato would explain that her mother's name, translated to English, is Iris. Yuji had to return him, but couldn't bring the baby without revealing her parentage to the public, an act that would ruin the little girl's life before it could begin. So Yuji left the child in the charge of his most trusted friend, Herlock Sholmes. While the characters decide whether or not to tell Iris these revelations, Iris admits that she doesn't need to know who her father is, because she's already decided that her father is the greatest detective in the world, Mr. Sherlock Sholmes. And for the first time in this whole game, Iris calls Sherlock Dad. It was enough to bring tears to my eyes. After this is revealed that Ryunosuke is ready to return to Japan, the original deal was for one student and an assistant, and seeing as Kazuma is alive, there is no longer a hole to fill for Ryunosuke. As he prepares to act as a defense lawyer in Japan, Susoto reveals that she had spoken with Kazuma and was granted his blessing to leave Ryunosuke, as she has come to rather enjoy working alongside him. The two leave, but not before saluting Kazuma, as Ryunosuke is once again gifted the ancestral sword of the Asogi clan. Where the tale goes from here? Who knows? Perhaps Capcom will continue to hold it and keep us in the past of Ryunosuke's great adventures, or maybe we'll take that and go back to the present with Phoenix Wright. Either way, you'll hear no objection from me. Alright guys, the next time we come to the Mystery Motel might not be for a while, but we do have some things on the horizon, such as Sherlock Chapter 1. That's right, the real deal, not Sherlock Sholmes, as much of a lovable buffoon he is. We also have the next entry in Inspector Hercule Poirot film series. Agatha Christie is still in the conversation for greatest mystery writer of all time, and while Murder on the Orient Express had quite the twist, by the way, we also have that Mystery Motel episode available in the archives, the next film entry is coming, as there has been a death on the Nile. Meanwhile, we'll be taking a jump next door to the Horror Hotel next week, where we will be looking back at one of the greatest horror films of all time, Wes Craven's Scream. Until then, much love everyone, and enjoy the rest of your week.